listening to Mark Kopylov on the station that sounds great to me, 88.3 Southern FM. You little doll, all you do is play. You got a new baby every day, but someday it's gonna be me, me, and only me, oh, wild one.
Talking about big artists, my next guest is Kevin Johnson. And Kevin's been on my show before, and he's had hits around the world, and he's written a very inspirational song about what's happening in the world at the moment. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but first of all, I'm going to play a song that sold around the world, that he wrote. It was 1973. It was a huge hit. And listen to the lyrics if you haven't heard this song before. It's really interesting. It's called Rock and Roll, I Gave You the Best Years of My Life.
I can still remember when I bought my first guitar. Remember just how good the feeling was. Put it proudly in my car, and my family listened 50 times to my two-song repertoire. And I told my mom her only son was gonna be a star. Bought all the Beatle records, sounded just like Paul. Bought all the old Chuck Berry's, 78s and all. And I sat by my record player, playing every note they played. And I watched them all on TV, making every move they made. Rock and roll, I gave you all the best years of my life. All the dreamy sunny Sundays, all the moonlit summer nights. I was so busy in the back, writing love songs to you while you were changing your direction. Never even knew that I was always just one step behind you. '66 seemed like the year I was really going somewhere. We were living in San Francisco with flowers in our hair, singing songs of kindness so the world would understand that the guys and me were something more than just another band. And then '69 in L.A. came around so soon. We were really making headway and writing lots of tunes. And we must have played the wildest stuff we had ever played. The way the crowds cried out for us, well, we thought we had it made. Rock and roll, I gave you all the best years of my life. Crazy, lazy young days, all the magic moonlit nights. I was so busy on the road, singing love songs to you while you were changing your direction. Never even knew that I was always just one step behind you. Do-do-do. '71 in Soho, when I saw Suzanne, I was trying to go it solo with someone else's band. And she came up to me late at night, took her by the hand. And I told her all my troubles, and she seemed to understand. And she followed me through London, through 100 hotel rooms, through 100 record companies who didn't like my tune. She followed me when finally I sold my old guitar. And she tried to help me understand I'd never be a star.
rock and roll again. Oh, the best year of my life. All the dreamy sunny Sundays. One step behind you. Rock and roll again. Oh, the best year of my life. Singing out my love songs in the brightly flashing lights. You know I never do the magic. Make it easy with you. I thank the Lord for giving me the little bit I need. Rock and roll again. Oh, the best year of my life. All the dreamy sunny Sundays.
Well, hello, Kevin. It's Mark Coppola. Welcome to 88.3 Southern FM.
How are you? How are you?
Good. Look, congratulations on a hat trick. I had you on my show the first time October 2015, then on November 2016, and now the third time tonight. And it's quite appropriate then that you're on, because this is my last show for 88.3 before we move to Sydney. So thank you for coming back again.
Yes, I heard that. Congratulations for the great run that you had, and yes. Well deserved.
Thank you. 22 years, it's a long time. And
yeah, my word.
I was lucky they didn't throw me off. But look, talking about the years, just listening to your song that was a hit around the world, that you recorded that 47 years ago, and yet the lyrics are still relevant today, aren't they?
Yeah, they seem to be. There's all this action still going on with that song, and, well, a lot of the others as well, but certainly that song has struck a chord, and there's always some new version of it seems to be coming up from different parts of the world.
And of course, you had other big hits with Bonnie Please Don't Go, She's Leaving, Over the Hills and Far Away, Shaney Boy, Man of the 20th Century, Scotty, and you've written so many great songs. And now we're going to talk about your new one in a second, but I was going to say, my wife and I came with Michael Matthews to see you at the Palm, and that was a great concert. That was...
It was a good night, nice venue, and we said we'll seem to get off there alive, out of there alive, so it was a good night.
And as an old guitarist, I have to say I was very impressed with your guitar playing. I think you've been playing probably since you're a teenager, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been playing for quite a while, but I get by, just. But thank you for saying so, yeah.
I thought it was a very, very good player. Who would you say would be your main influences on the guitar?
Well, I've never been sort of that influenced by... I've had a lot of different guitar players that I greatly admired, but never really copied any of their things. But certainly if you start way back, I guess Django Reinhardt, then Chet Atkins, it made guitars, I can't think of his name.
Les Paul,
and then to George Harrison, who always got the best out of the song somehow. Different styles he played, and then later on, I guess the Queen, man, what's his name?
Brian May.
Yeah, Brian May, and Pink Floyd, David Gilmore, and Mark Knopfler would be certainly favourites of mine.
I was certainly hearing some Chet Atkins plucking in your guitar playing when we saw you in concert.
Yeah, well, Chet Atkins, I used to buy a lot of his records when, in the early days when I was still in Rockhampton. He had a lovely... feel with the guitar, but he also got the best out of every song. A lovely expression in the way he played them. He was a great player. And of course, in terms of sheer virtuosity, Tommy Emmanuel is hard to beat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, he said he was influenced by Chet Atkins. When I saw George Martin conducting All You Need Is Beatles, when I had the great thrill of meeting the man, he was talking about Tommy Emmanuel and his style, and then Tommy did, during the concert, he played Lady Madonna, and it was just great because he had that bass run going while he's playing the melody, just like Chet Atkins.
Yes, yes. You mentioned you met George Martin. Yeah, I had a long meeting with him. He was going to do an album that I was doing.
Oh.
I was in England at the time.
And,
he ended up lining up Phil Ramone for me instead, but the festival sort of blew that out the window. But he was a very nice man, wasn't he, George Martin?
I mentioned on air earlier, Kevin, that I had three long interviews with him over a couple of years about the Beatles anthology releases. There were three of them.
Yeah.
And he was on six boards, and he'd promised me all these different things, album signings, free tickets to his concert, everything, and everything he promised, he delivered on. He was just a man of the greatest integrity, really was.
Absolutely, yeah. Very, very polite and real Englishman with his cup of tea, and, you know, we have quite a long get together and we discussed the whole thing, but he was a very pleasant guy, and really there were five Beatles. I think he was definitely the fifth Beatle to me.
I absolutely agree with you, and I've just got to tell you a funny story. I mean, you're famous and used to being in the press, so I think you'll appreciate this story. When I got the first interview with George Martin, it was a bit of a coup, because he hadn't, way back then, 22 years ago, he hadn't done that really many interviews that were heard in Australia, and I got this long interview.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was interviewed by the paper, by one of the papers, which I won't mention the name, and I said in that interview, I certainly believe he should be called the fifth Beatle. And you know what they printed as a heading? It said, Mark Hoppeloff said that George Martin should be called the first Beatle. And I thought, oh, my God, this has gone into press. And then my Beatle mates were phoning me saying, what are you talking about? I didn't say that. So I had 1 second of understanding, if you are famous, that you've got to be careful what you say, because it can be misquoted, you know.
Absolutely. Never let fact interfere with a good story, I think.
That's right. But listen, Kevin, we're here to talk about mainly about your new song, and I have to say that when I heard it, I was really moved by it. So it's called The Sun Will Shine. Can you explain why it's so moving, please?
Well, The Sun Will Shine, again, it was written quite a while ago, and I recorded it a little while ago, but never did anything with it in terms of... some people contacted me saying, right now, it was a perfect time for now, when this terrible pandemic is going on right around the world and people are in dire straits. And it was just looking at the obvious that I guess there is always some light in the end of the tunnel if we can just get through it. So I guess that was the motivating force when I wrote it, but it's certainly, as they say, it's pertinent to today.
Well, it's been described as an uplifting song with a positive message of hope in these troubled times, and I think it's a perfect explanation of what it's about.
Yes, I think Michael Matthews came up with that line, and it is a good one, I think, for the song, yes. Hopefully others will agree.
And so if people want to download it, you've got your website, kevin-johnson.net. So can they get it from there?
Right. Yeah. Yes, it's only available on an album in that, but it's certainly available there, yes. And it's also available on iTunes and all of the other Spotify's and Google Play's and whatever. So it's available on all of those platforms.
Well, that's great. And what about your future plans, Kevin, once we get through this virus scenario?
I've always been intending to come down and do some more shows in Victoria and other places as well. But all of those things have been put on the sort of back burner at the moment, because nobody can make any plans about concerts or whatever. You've got to book all these things ahead, and you can't do that when you don't know what's going to happen. So, but I'll get around to that certainly when this this burden is off us. Hopefully that won't be too long away, but I hope they don't lift the restrictions too early.
No.
We don't want to relapse.
Yeah. No. But a lot of the artists I've spoken to tonight talk about that they're using this time to just lock themselves away and try and write some new songs. So you going to do that? You know, start writing some more?
I haven't done that during this pandemic, which has been the last 3 months or something, two or 3 months or whatever. Mm. But I had done that before that. So I have enough songs to fill up at least an album again. I had an album out last year, but and some of those leftovers from things I didn't select for that album and other new stuff that I've written as well. But it wasn't written in this actual pandemic time. It was about a month ahead of that sort of thing. So.
Yeah, well, the last time you were on my version of Purple Haze, we did talk about your CD, The Devil Found Work, and it's a really good album.
Yeah.
Really good album. If people want to
thank you very much.
If people want to hear your more recent work, as well as your old stuff, you've got your anthology. But, The Devil Found Work's the last CD. It's really good because we played songs like The Devil Found Work and Political Shuffle and all this sort of stuff. So I just want to ask one more thing before we go. I suppose you're known as a solo artist, but if we go right back in time, when you were young, I assume you were playing in bands like anyone, any other guitarist, singer, and would that be right?
Yeah, I was only ever in one band. I mean, I put bands together when I've been touring and doing shows, of course. I was in a band in Rockhampton called the Candymen, and we played Rolling Stones and Beatles all the time. That sort of cover band playing those. When we played the Beatles, people would listen, and when we played the Stones, they'd get up and dance. So we had a combination of a couple of things. And of course, other the Searchers, we used to play a lot of their stuff, and many other bands, but mainly Beatles and Stones.
We talked a lot about the Beatles tonight because I'm a Beatle historian. Can you mention some of the Beatles songs that you did, like with any particular favourites that you enjoyed singing?
Yes, you've got me there. To make it simpler and get myself out of this corner, I used to sing the John songs, and the other guy in the band, the other singer in the band, he used to sing the Paul songs. When it comes to the song, I changed it a bit because it was an easier rhyme get Paul to rhyme with something. So, but in actual fact, I used to mainly sing John songs. So I sang a lot of those. I just can't remember off the top of my head which ones they were, but certainly I did a lot of those,
I wonder if you ever did Revolution. That would have been a bit of a voice shredder to take.
No, I didn't do that one. No, I didn't. And another one, Twist and Shout, he was screaming. He said he couldn't talk for days or something after he recorded it. I didn't do that one either. But I did a lot of his, in the early days, the first couple of big albums I had, he was doing more vocals than Paul, I think, but then it sort of changed around. So, obviously, from that, I don't know what the name of the album was, Please Please Me or something, they were looking down over a banister or something, like on a flight of stairs or something. Certainly, a lot of the John songs out of that was the ones I used to, but I loved Paul's stuff. I mean, it's just that vocally, I had the same sort of, a little bit of the same raspy voice that Lennon had, so... that was the reason for it.
So, the album was called Please Please Me, and just a couple of quick things about what you mentioned. What's really interesting is if you put on Twist and Shout with headphones on, at the very end of the song, you can hear John just say, "Core," because the story goes that they recorded that album in 12 hours, one go, and they decided at the end, John decided at the end, come on, let's give Twist and Shout a go. I don't have much of a voice left. And apparently he said, look, I'm just going to give it everything I've got. And I reckon it's one of the best vocals ever recorded. And he shredded his vocal cords, but wow, what a vocal.
it was a great vocal. And this was a great thing with the Beatles. A lot of other bands had, like the Beach Boys and that, they had great songs and that. Mm. The Beatles had such great voices as well. You know, McCartney, when you say, why don't we do it on the road, or Helter Skelter, and then he goes from there to Honey Pie and things like that. Just amazing range they had of versatility. Well, and I've I've always admired that about them.
Well, in one of the interviews with George Martin, I asked him, why do you think they were so good? Very basic question. Yeah. And he had a very simple answer. He said, they never wrote the same song twice. And you've just given some really good examples. Why don't we do it on the road, or I Will, or Honey Pie? Yeah. They're nothing like each other. You know, they never copied
Yesterday and all Yesterday. That. Absolutely, totally diverse. And that's what I always admired. It's always worked against me, because a lot of people work on the basis that each song sounds like it was done with the same musicians and it's got somewhat the same feel. I've never really got into that. I never liked it. I like something. You never know what's coming next, but sometimes that can work against you, but I prefer to do it that way. But they certainly did it with great precision and great originality.
Yes, absolutely. But look, we're going to go out with The Sun Will Shine Again. I'd like everyone to listen to the words, because it gives us all hope that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And Kevin, I'd like to thank you for being my very last guest on 22 years on radio. It's been a great thrill to have you on for the third time, and I wish you all the best of luck with the rest of your career, and we look forward to another CD.
Great. Thanks very much for your assistance in the past, and congratulations on a 22-year run, and all the very best for the future.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, bye, Kevin. Let's have a listen to The Sun Will Shine Again.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sometimes the road goes on forever. Sometimes the road goes on in vain. But we carry on through stormy weather. Knowing things won't always stay the same. It's a long road that has no turning. It's a long road that has no bend. It's a dark cloud horizon without some silver lining. It's a high hill you climb that doesn't go back down again. So keep the home fires burning. Keep your shelter from the wind. The world will all seem warmer when you finally turn that corner. The sun will shine again if you just wait till then. Sometimes the road is hard to follow. There are trying times everywhere we go. But we carry on towards tomorrow. Could be a better day. It's a long road that has no turning. It's a long road that has no bend. It's a dark cloud horizon without some silver lining. It's a high hill you climb that doesn't go back down again. So keep the home fires burning. Your shelter from the wind. The world will all seem warmer when you finally turn that corner. The sun will shine again if you just wait till